Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
Last week we saw Moses arguing with God about going back to Egypt. And Moses has had all these arguments, all these reasons for why he cannot do what God is asking him now to do. And as if God were to pull back from any of those certain arguments or excuses from Moses and go, oh, well, you're right. You're not the guy that I intended on using. I meant to use somebody else, right? And we talked about last week how that we tend to give God these excuses when God brings us to places and to situations and to calls in our life. We tend to offer up these excuses for why we cannot do what God is asking us to do. Why I cannot be a witness, why I cannot be a light, why I cannot take a stand, why I cannot invite my neighbor to church, why I cannot be a witness in my family. All these reasons for why we can't. And what we said last week was that our weaknesses are not a surprise to God, that God does not regret in calling us or in saving us. Man, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Right? So all of that's happened in our life, God isn't somehow surprised. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize you were such a bad person. I didn't realize you had such thoughts. I didn't realize you had a past. I didn't realize you had all these things. And yet we try to offer excuse after excuse as a reason for why we cannot obey God. And we saw God go down the list with Moses as Moses offers four or five different excuses from chapter 3 into chapter 4. And now Moses has surrendered his will to God. Moses has submitted himself to God. He said, okay, God, if this is what you want, then this is what I will do. And that's verse number 18. And Moses went. You see that phrase? And Moses went. Moses is now obeying the Lord. He's ready to do what God is asking him to do. But here's the lesson. Even once we've submitted our will to God, okay, God, if this is what you want, this is what I'll do. Even once we've submitted our will to the Lord, man, God is still trying to teach Moses some things about himself and about Moses. Okay, so the old song is, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, right? Because so Moses has gone, okay, God, I surrender my will to yours. Okay, God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do in my life by way of my living and giving. Okay, I surrender. Now what? And then Moses went and returned. Moses went and returned. So the lesson for you, the lesson for me is, man, coming to that place where we continually long for, where we're constantly looking for, wanting, leaning in, pressing into what God is calling us to do. Why? Because we all need to learn a few more things. Man, the Apostle Paul, having written the vast majority the New Testament, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth in those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Man, there's that pressing, that forgetting, that learning, that moving forward. Man, not thinking himself to have arrived, but understanding he's got a lot more that he can learn. So it's good news. It's good news. God's not done with Moses, despite the fact that Moses has a past, despite the fact that Moses has weaknesses. God's not done with Moses. That was the good news last week. Here's the hard news this week. God's not done with Moses. It's good news. God's not done with Moses, in spite of all the excuses. It's good news. It's bad news. God's not done with Moses. He's still making Moses into all that he wants Moses to be, into all that he is asking Moses to do. Okay, so it's two ideas in your outline tonight. Number one, notice this. The first step is often the hardest. The first step is often the hardest? Now, I'm talking to you individually. Maybe you're one of our students. You made a decision this week on the mission field. Maybe you're one of our young professionals. You made a decision this week in class. Maybe you're one of our teenagers. You made a decision this week at camp, at the conference, or this last summer at camp. Maybe it's a husband. Man, the Lord's been knocking on your heart's door about a new calling, a new place, a new career, a new situation. I don't know what it is for you, right? But often, the first step is the hardest, right? So watch what happens. Talking to Pharaoh, that's one thing. Talking to your father-in-law, that's another. Talking to Pharaoh, that's one thing. Talking to your father-in-law, that's something else altogether. Talking to some distant authority and power, that's one thing. Talking to someone who you are in close relationship with, close relationship to, friends with, man, have a routine, constant communication with, always seen, always around. Man, having that relationship, talking to some distant authority is one thing. Talking to that person who knows the inside and the outside of you, that's something different altogether. And yet what's interesting for Moses doesn't listen to the voice of God from the burning bush and then go back to Jethro and say, see ya. Doesn't do that, does he? And Moses could have showed up at Jethro's house and like, hey, pack up the U-Haul for me because God talked to me because I'm special, but God must not have talked to you because you're not so special. And God's calling me to do something, so you better get out of my way. That's not Moses' spirit. That wasn't Moses' approach. Moses does something that for our culture is very strange, but in that culture was very expected, especially when you consider Moses was working for his father-in-law's business. Moses was living in his father-in-law's house. Moses was keeping his father-in-law's sheep. And what Moses does is he humbly asks Jethro for permission. Isn't that interesting? I mean, just think this through. God talked to you in a burning bush. You threw the stick on the ground. It came a snake. You put your hand in your coat. It was leprous. You heard the voice of the Lord say, the river of the Nile will turn to the blood, will turn to blood. And then Moses goes back and he asks his father-in-law if he has permission to take his daughter and his grandchildren away and go back into Egypt. Isn't that interesting? It's one thing to confront Pharaoh. It's another thing altogether to show honor to those who you are in relationship with. It's one thing to confront a distant authority. It's another thing altogether to honor your father and your mother. This is the first and great commandment with promise. Moms and dads, you should help me on that point right there. Like elbow your kid and go, stop coloring. Listen to what Pastor just said. It's one thing altogether, right, to go, man, I got to deal with Pharaoh, and he's a mean, nasty man. And it's another thing to say, I'm going to go sit down in my father-in-law's house and ask him for permission about taking his daughter 3,000 miles away. Now, that's something else altogether now, isn't it? Because Moses is a man who takes that first step. Notice Moses says, let me go back to Egypt, see if my brothers, see if my kinsmen, see if my family, my tribe, my people, see if they are still there. And I love that nowhere in this passage does Moses pull out the trump card and go, and by the way, God said it, so you don't have a choice. Don't you love that? Don't you love that Moses is completely humble in this entire process? He doesn't go, you better agree, because if you don't, I can stick my hand in here and pull out leprosy and I'll wipe it all over your face. He doesn't say that. He humbly walks in front of a man who he respects, in front of a man that he has a relationship with, and he asks him for permission to. Moses does what most of us have a hard time doing. Why? Because most of us want to be faithful to God's call in our life. Most of us want to be willing to be courageous and do what God's asked us to do and leave behind the job and leave behind the car and give it all to missions and go move to a third world country and serve the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of our days there. Most of us want to, willing to, maybe even have had a call in our life to, but we're afraid to ask our wives. Listen, ma'am, do yourself a favor right now. Do not elbow your husband on this point, okay? Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. He's better at it than you. But let me just talk to the men for a second. Sometimes we know the Lord is knocking, the Lord is calling, the Lord is pulling, the Lord is urging, and yet where we are the ones who pull back at that threshold because we're afraid of what she might think if we say that. And we're supposed to have all the answers, and we're supposed to be the fix-it, and we're supposed to have the plan, and we're supposed to have the 401k, and we're supposed to have it all lined up, and God's calling us, God's pulling us, God's moving us, and there's this desire in our hearts to say, I want to be faithful to what He's doing, I want to be obedient to Him, I want to step out to deeper water, but I'm afraid to go and talk to her because I don't want to lose my respectability. Sometimes this happens as husbands and wives. Sometimes this happens with children and parents. Sometimes this happens with parents and children. Sometimes this happens inside of the culture of a church or even in your neighborhood or community. Sometimes this happens at our businesses or jobs. So what you're telling me is you're walking away from this promotion so that you could go be a missionary? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you God is doing in my heart and in my life, right? And sometimes that's what happens for us is we desire to be faithful, but we also have this desire to have some sort of respectability. I want to follow Christ, but I still want to save face with my friends or those that I'm in relationship with. It's interesting, Jethro's response, because Jethro's response is so gracious to Moses. So letter A in your notes, Moses has the humility to speak. The first step is the hardest. Why? Because it requires for you and for me to have humility and be humble enough to go sit down with those that we're in relationship with. Man, those that we respect, those that we love, those who we are, man, endeared to, father-in-law, boss, neighbor, friends, right? I mean, it's hard for us to sit down and go, you know, you've done so much for me. You've been so kind to me. But I feel in my heart like the Lord is calling me, pulling me into something different. Sometimes this happens in our own families where we put such a pressure on our children to be what we think they should be instead of living with an open hand saying, we want you to be what God wants you to be. And so even our own children are afraid to come and sit down and say, here's what the Lord did in my heart at camp. I think He might want me to go to ministry. And immediately, man, pushback from the table. Jethro's response is so gracious to Moses. Contrast Jethro, just for a fun Bible study, look up Jethro's response, which we'll unpack tonight, versus Laban's response. Do you remember Laban in Genesis? Man, Laban who Jacob had worked for, and Jacob worked for Laban for 14 years, and then Jacob says, it's time for me to go, and Laban says to Jacob, no, you can't go, because you're a good luck charm, and I'm getting rich off you. On top of that, you're taking my daughters, my grandchildren, and everything I have. So Jacob ends up having to leave town in the middle of the night, and Laban comes after him. In fact, if you want to see that story, Genesis chapter 41, verse number 33. Genesis chapter 41, and verse number 33, and here's what it says. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and said, that is absolutely not the right verse. Anyway, the story of Laban, I don't know what the verse is supposed to be, but I typed the wrong one down. The story of Laban's really good. You should go read it. But if you contrast that, Laban goes after him. And what has happened? Man, this curse falls on Laban's house, and Jacob becomes this prosperous man going on to serve the Lord. And the contrast between Jethro's response and Laban's response, it's just magnanimous in its different approach between how God blessed one and how God did not bless the other. There are a few things as difficult as letting a child go. And I don't think we can really fully grasp that until we're parents, and there are some in the room that are farther down the road than Amanda and I. But that's a difficult thing to do. I've been on that journey 16 years trying to help Amanda remember that these kids don't belong to us. And our raising them, our training them, our teaching them is to get them ready to leave. Not to stay, but to leave. And some of you are in different places on that than I am, and then Amanda, and farther down the road than Amanda and I are. And I certainly appreciate your support in our own journey, in our own endeavor. But I wonder tonight, if our children had the humility to speak, would we have the willingness to support? Moses has the humility to speak. It's good for you to speak to your family, your in-laws, those you're in relationship with before you make any big decisions in your life. Look right here. It's good for you to speak to your family, your in-laws, those that you are in relationship with before you make any big decisions in your life. Amen, Pastor. It's good. Thanks, Dave. So let me offer you some pastoral advice here. Single young ladies in the room, look right here at me. Find you a guy who can talk to your dad. That's a good start. You know what I love about Moses? He can talk to Jethro. Look here, girls. Find you a guy who can talk to your dad. Because if he's not willing to talk to your dad now, he won't talk to your dad then. Amanda had this rule growing up. She was never allowed to have a boyfriend until someone was willing to go and sit down and ask Amanda's dad if she could be his girlfriend. So I asked Amanda, I'm like, hey, we met each other in eighth grade. I'm like, hey, you're pretty cool. She's like, yeah, you're pretty hot. And I'm like, yeah, you're pretty hot too. I'm like, you wanna go out with me? Just funny, like eighth grade talk, like where are you gonna go, right? I don't have a car, I don't have a bicycle. You wanna go out with me? She's like, you gotta ask my dad. I'm like, oh, that's a kill right there. I'm not, no. How about we're just friends, okay? From eighth grade on, we'll just be like really good friends that extra like each other, right? But never go out. This is how our relationship started. She says to this day, she's like, David was always afraid to talk to my dad, so we were never officially boyfriend and girlfriend because I would never talk to her dad. Her dad's, not anymore, but he was an intimidating person, right? And finally, I mustered up the courage, 11th grade. My parents were like, yes, you can take somebody on this school banquet we had. You can take a date. So I mustered up enough courage. I went over to Amanda's dad, and after church, I caught him in the back of the church, and I said, Mr. Epperson, I would like to, he said, what? It's his first words to me, what? Well, I was wondering if, and I had asked Amanda, like, hey, do you know, if we go to the banquet together, you think you'd like to go with me? She's like, I would love to go with you. I mean, obviously, you're hot, so I would love to go with you. But you got to ask my dad. So I already, she's like, and I can't say yes until you, and so I'd already like, you know, felt that out. Like, okay, this is, so he'll probably say yes to me, right? And she's like, yeah, probably. And I'm like, okay, cool, you know. So, I mean, I wanted to make sure. So, like, Mr. Epperson would, what? Well, I was wondering, hey, listen, if you're going to talk, and he interrupts me. He says, if you're going to talk to me, look me right in the face. And I went, I was wondering if I could take Amanda to the banquet. And he went. This is what he did. He's carrying a pistol in his side. True story, carrying a pistol on his side. He went, say it again. And I said, I'm a kid. Hey, girls, look right here. Even you little girls, look right here. Find you a guy that will talk to your dad. Because if he can't do that, then he doesn't deserve you. Hey, guys, look right here at me. Find you a girl that can talk to your mom. Look right here. Look right here. Hey, guys, find you a girl who can talk to your mom. It's the coolest thing about Amanda. She has the best relationship with my mom. I actually think my mom loves her more than she loves me. They're like best friends. They really are. I love that Moses has the humility to speak, and this is the kind of person that you want in your life. Not somebody who goes to the back door, but somebody who walks to the front. Look here. Not somebody who walks to the back door, but somebody who walks through the front. And moms and dads, if you'll let me, I'll help you here. Because on the way home tonight, you can go, hey, did you hear what Pastor said about that? So what kind of guy or gal are we going to look for? Girls, a guy that can talk to your dad. Guys, a girl who can talk to your mom. Moses has the humility to speak. Hey, to all those in that in-between stage, you know, like 17 to 22, you're about to start your own endeavor in life. Can I just tell you this? It's a lot harder for your mom and dad to let you leave than you think it is. I just want them to let me do my own thing. Like, for real. Well, I get it. But they have literally made every decision for you for the last 17 years. So now you're trying to do your own thing, and I get it. But yesterday, you didn't even know how to make your own oatmeal. And now all of a sudden, you want to decide who you're going to marry? It's hard for us as parents to make that leap from you can't even match your clothes to you can pick out your own spouse. Like, that's a hard place for me to get, you know? Like, well, you literally do not know how to operate an iron, but I guess you're well-equipped to choose who you should live the rest of your life with. So let me just let you make... No. This is a lot more difficult for them than you think it is. Hey, all of those who are like, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, you're just... And you're always wondering, why does a mom and dad let me go to people's house? Why can't I do these things? Why can't I? Let me help you with this. Just, here's why. Because you are the only you that they get. And so they want to be really careful with you. Yeah, but they're always just checking all my stuff and going through my text messages and looking at my emails and whatever I'm doing. They're standing over my shoulder. Be thankful you have a mom or dad like that. It's a lot harder for them than you think it is. Here's another idea. Just speaking of Moses here. Here's another idea. You should take care. You should be very concerned with how you leave. Isn't that interesting? Moses could have packed bags in the middle of the night. God told him to. Moses could have packed bags in the middle of the night. He never had to have a conversation with anybody. He could have just slipped right out and no one would have ever even known it. Until the morning when Jethro wakes up and he's like, "Where are my grand girls? Where are my grand boys? Ha ha ha." Moses has enough respect for the position that Jethro has to take care how he leaves. Hey, here. Take care how you leave. Some of you are going to run off to college in a few months. Take care how you leave. You better find every adult in this room who sunk their life into you, and you should walk up, shake them by the hand, look them in the face, give them a hug, and say, "Thank you so much for everything you've done for me. Thank you for all the prayers and Sunday school lessons. Thank you for teaching me to class. Thank you for getting on my case. Thank you for making me do my homework." Here, watch. Take care how you leave. If the Lord is calling you to that, if this is what the Lord is doing, then you should do this in your office. So some of you are on the brink right now, and the Lord's been after you. You know, I think I'm gonna take that first step, Pastor. I'm gonna go surrender my life to mission field. I'm not for sure what it is yet, but I'm just gonna do it. Hey, listen, before you just leave your job, take care how you leave your job. Don't burn that bridge. That's a bridge you're gonna want to go back across someday. Don't burn that bridge. I love how Moses is a prophet. Moses is a type of priest. Moses is a type of king. Moses is even a type of Christ later on. And yet Moses is polite and respectable, not just to his parents, but to his in-laws. You know how hard it is to look at your in-law and say to your father-in-law, "I'm going to move your daughter 3,000 miles away from here to a city where I've never been but twice." I do. It's pretty hard. Moses has the humility to speak. Listen, teenagers, you made decisions this week. Have the humility to talk to your parents about that. God has given them to you for your good. I'm longer on this point than I meant to be. Does that surprise anybody? Number two, the willingness to support. Hey, mom and dad. Some decisions your young adult, your teenager, your child makes, some decisions you cannot support. But there are some decisions that you can support. So you should support the ones you can while you can. This just happens to me. I'm sitting on the couch. We have a rule in our house. Gabriel, Ethan, Elena, they're not allowed to be on their phones or devices anytime after 9. They're not allowed to text anybody after 9. Not allowed to call anybody after 9. So I'm sitting on the couch. Gabriel goes outside. I hear him on the phone talking to Brother Carl, Bible quiz coach. And he's quoting the book of James or whatever it is. I don't know. He's quoting the book of James to Carl on the phone. And I look at a man. I'm like, "What's Gabriel on the phone for?" She's like, your oldest son is quoting Bible verses to Brother Carl. Look, at 9:45 at night, this is what we're doing now. We're quoting Bible verses. She goes, "David, I think it could be worse, don't you?" Fine. "But you better quote those Bible verses fast, right?" Like, of all the things to get mad about, quoting Bible verses is probably not one of those things that we should get mad about, you know? You'll amen me and nod your head on that point, but you'll be quiet for the rest of the time? Like, you're right, Pastor. You shouldn't do that. We can't support every decision our kids make. That's true. Otherwise, you wouldn't be their parent. And we can't support every decision they make. But when they do make good decisions, by the way, when they do make good decisions, you should support them. I wrestle with this because I go, what will I do when my sons or my daughter comes to me and says, Mom, Dad, I want to move 3,000 miles away and serve Jesus in a city I've been to twice. Will I go, let's get the U-Haul. Let's do it. Mom, Dad, I want to go serve in the 1040 window where there is hardly anyone who knows Jesus and I won't be home for 3 Christmases. Mom, Dad, I want to give my life to reach the poorest people on the planet. So I'm traveling to this third world country and I'm living in a shack. It's amazing how many parents, and I mean really, really good parents, lose sight of their theology in moments like that. What? You're not doing the plan? We had a plan. Remember the plan? Oh, I remember your plan. But God changed the plan. Because he's God. And he changed the plan. And I want to surrender my life to his plan. I love Jethro says 3 remarkable words to Moses. Look at the end of verse 18. Go in peace. When our children make good decisions to follow Christ, even if they are painful decisions for us, will we, like Jethro, be able to say, go in peace? I hope so. I want that, don't you? I hope so. I pray so. But without the humility that Moses displays and without the willingness that Jethro exercises, that certainly won't happen. That certainly won't happen. The first step is the hardest. That's why there must be humility and that's why there must be willingness. There must be humility on our part to say, listen, you're my mom and my dad, and I know this is probably harder for you than for me, but here's where I'm at. Here's what God is doing in me. Sometimes the first step is the hardest, and maybe for you, husband and wife, it needs to be a night out this week in an honest conversation with each other to say, I know we had a plan, but I think God's changing it. I got a letter this week from one of the members of our church. I won't say their name. It was one of those letters that you love to get, but you hate to get. The letter started like this, Pastor, we love you. I'm with Brother Johnson. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Brother Johnson. And Pastor, we love you. And we're so thankful for what God's doing in First Baptist. We're not for sure, but we think God is calling us to the mission field. That's the part I hated. I went, well, I like the part where you said you loved me. But now you're saying you're going to leave me. And we're just willing to serve here at First Baptist as long as we can until the Lord gives us the next step. And they're not even my kids. And I'm going, no, that God doesn't want that. God doesn't, trust me, God does not want, he wants you to stay right here with us. Man, the humility to speak, the willingness to support. The humility to speak, the willingness to support. So maybe husband and wife, it needs to be a conversation this week. You know, God's been knocking on my heart's door for a really long time. And I think he might be calling us to the mission field, but I'm afraid to tell you. So here I am telling you in a public setting where you cannot yell because the waiter would notice. Do it in public. That's the best place. Hey, listen, church, would we be that? Don't you want to be that? I want to be that for my kids. I want to be that for this sweet family in our church. God's going to use them in a spectacular way, I'm telling you. It's going to be amazing. I never want to be that one that takes a big cup of water, pours it on top of their head, and goes, yeah, well, good luck. God doesn't know what he's getting. No, I want to be the kind that come alongside and say, you know what then? Let's go in peace. And let's get a plan. And let's figure out how this happens. And let's be wise and let's be smart with what the decisions we make. And let's make sure we balance this out with proper education, the proper academics. Let's make sure we do all these things. But let's have enough respect to show that honor. And then when that honor is shown, let's make sure we give that same support back and say, listen, I'm more for you than you even know. I'm so for you that I left 3,000 miles behind, walked away from Amanda's entire family, had a really difficult conversation with her, with my in-laws, her parents, and said, I'm taking your daughter and your grandkids a really, really long way away. Oh yeah? Well, when are you coming back? Never. Really? Never? I hope Long Beach is it for me. We'll do this for about 20 years. We'll retire, buy a condo on the beach, and complain about the young guy who's taken over and all the changes he's making. Let's serve Jesus long enough to do that together. But when God does call one of ours to the field, let's also show that same support.